Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hour number two here on Tiki and Tierney. What's happening? Looking forward to this conversation. Cam Newton, did the Panthers diss him? A lot of people think that they did. I'm going to get to that in a moment as we roll on inside of our studios, the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Challenging times, Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. So if you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Hopefully everybody's having a good Thursday around the country. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. 3 hours every single day, Monday through Friday. Radio.com, Sirius XM 206. Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, 855-212-4227. You know, Tiki, sometimes it's not what you tweet as much as it is what you don't tweet. there's a lot of rules on social media. Like baseball, the rules, the unwritten rules.
Mm-hmm.
There's also some unwritten rules on social media. The written ones are obvious. You know, just watch what you write, obviously. But the unwritten rules are a little tougher to navigate in terms of whether or not, you know, people are dissed or overlooked or whatever it might be. And what was a seemingly relatively innocuous tweet from the Panthers verified account yesterday has turned into holy hell. The Carolina Panthers, very simply, all right, they put a picture of three players, three terrific players. One is Julius Peppers, one is Steve Smith, and one is Luke Kuechly, recently retired Luke. Great, great player. And it says, choose your GOAT. All right, make a choice, move on. And then you realize, well, there's an interesting omission here, and that would be Cam Newton. So are we going to think that the Panthers are that petty that they did this on purpose?
No.
I would be inclined to think that way as well. However, if it wasn't an unintentional omission, then why not just circle back and say, yep, our bad, Cam's an option as well. We missed it.
I don't think it was intentionally they're trying to throw shade at Cam Newton, but God, how are they not throwing shade at Cam Newton? I think because it feels like Cam Newton feels unresolved. The situation with him with Carolina feels unresolved, and how it ended. But yeah, I could also say the same for Steve Smith Sr. That didn't end well with Dave Gettleman. Oof. Basically, you know, saying we don't want you anymore. You're not good enough anymore. Yeah. Basically leaving, but he's still viewed as one of the greatest ever. This makes no sense, to be honest with you. There is one MVP in the history of the Carolina Panthers. It's Cam Newton. He led them on a 15-1 season a few years ago, and also took them to the Super Bowl that year. For the last decade, really nine seasons, he's been synonymous with the Carolina Panthers. Now that's starting to change because Christian McCaffrey is their top value player on that squad the last couple of years. But Cam Newton has been synonymous with excellence down there, even if it hasn't been, you know, high completion percentages and everything else. And I started to look through all of the other teams in the National Football League, and I was trying to find examples of the all-time leading passer in the franchise history not being at least in the conversation with as the GOAT.
Can I give? Did you find one?
There's a couple that jump out.
Somewhat modern or no?
Yeah, it's a couple of them are modern. Two are real modern. You know.
Well, I know Ryan Fitzpatrick set the Jets touchdown record.
Yes, he set the Jets touchdown record, but the all-time leading passer, meaning most yards thrown for in franchise history, is obviously Joe Namath for the New York Jets. He's in that conversation as the GOAT. There, the exceptions that I found are Jay Cutler with the Bears. He's the all-time leading passer with the Bears. Brian Sipe with the Cleveland Browns.
He won an MVP.
He did.
1979,
he did,
I think.
But if you're talking about the Cleveland Browns, are you saying, oh, our best player in the history of our franchise was Sipe?
No. But you might be saying, you know, somewhat modernly, he's your best quarterback.
Yes, but is he your GOAT? Because it's not just about quarterbacks.
I'm
talking about the GOAT, the best player.
That's true.
Chicago has so many, like Walter Payton's there, and there's so many great defensive players over
Dick
the course.
Butkus,
etc. The Cleveland Browns or the Cincinnati Bengals was Ken Anderson. The Baltimore Ravens, they're also heavily defensively, you know, GOAT-ish, from Ed Reed to Ray Lewis. Joe Flacco is their all-time leading passer. But for most of them, if your quarterback, who's been there for a long time, whether it's Donovan McNabb in Philadelphia or Troy Aikman in Dallas, Eli with the Giants. Now, Washington has a few that are because they had so many different quarterbacks over the years.
They have.
But still, you'd put Theismann in that conversation, or you know what I mean?
I always thought Joe was a little overrated.
It doesn't matter, but he's still you talk about him, even though it'd probably be somebody else that would win the GOAT conversation. But you talk about the quarterback. To not include a quarterback in a 25-year history. Uh-huh. There's only 25 years of the Carolina Panthers. Their first season was 1995. 25 years. He leads the league. He led the league in 15 wins a few years ago. He's the only MVP. To not include him is either an oversight or it's just you're trying to be sensitive to the circumstances surrounding his departure. That's the only thing I can make of this, because there's no reason he shouldn't be in the conversation.
I'm going to challenge you on that in a moment, but I had to just see where Tiki is with the Giants. I've checked on this before, but I want to make sure. So, top 12 players for the Giants since 1960. Do you know what number you are?
No idea.
You don't?
No idea.
Oh, then we'll have a little game then. On profootballreference.com.
Okay.
What number do you think you are? Since 1960, in terms of value, the rating. What number do you think you are?
I don't know.
Take a guess.
Four.
All right. We got Lawrence Taylor. That's easy.
Yep.
Got Eli. Michael Strahan.
Eli.
Eli's third.
Mm-hmm.
Carson is four.
Carson?
Yeah.
Harry Carson. Harry Carson. Yeah.
And Tiki is five.
Huh. Interesting.
Not bad, buddy.
I forgot defense. Defensive.
Yeah, that kind of matters. Especially for the Giants.
Yeah, exactly. It didn't play for 15 you know, years, it was all about defense.
It was their staple.
Exactly.
Phil's numbers. Phil Sims, the great Phil. Our buddy Phil is right behind you. All right. So here's where I'm going to challenge you.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. You know, the quarterback position inherently just needs to be elevated. So, yes, right away I acknowledge it's a petty move. I don't think it was an intern just being a little bored and an unintentional omission. I believe that this was a calculated move. For what reason? I have no idea.
That's what I can't understand, because there's no way you can forget about it. There's no way you can forget about Cam Newton.
Well, why would you want to?
I agree. Of course you wouldn't.
So now that we both agree that the tweet was ridiculous in terms of omitting him, let's actually determine whether or not he really is the GOAT. And the answer is no. And I'm going to tell you why.
Go ahead.
Now, first of all, Luke Kuechly is the greatest player in the history of the Carolina Panthers. Mm-hmm. He's the greatest.
I would agree.
9 Pro Bowls, 3 times first-team All-Pro, Defensive Player of the Year as well. Luke Kuechly doesn't get those concussions. Luke Kuechly goes down as a top 25 defense, maybe top 20 defensive player, I think, in the history of the game.
He was a machine.
He was great. All right. So right away, I can easily prove, based on the accomplishments, that Luke Kuechly is at least my GOAT for Carolina. I'm saying Cam should have been given a choice, clearly. Yeah. All right. Julius Peppers, 9 Pro Bowls. You want to say Pro Bowl is a function of popularity or circumstances? Yeah. That's partly true. I get that.
And a large part for Julius Peppers, it's a couple of those at the end. Yeah, it was. Go ahead, but you can go.
All right, but that happens to a lot of guys.
Of course it does. It happens to everybody.
So Peppers has 9 or with the Panthers. Cam, 3. I mean, that's a. You can tell me, well, you threw 2 on at the end, old man Peppers.
Yeah, but that's a big difference. Also not forget that quarterbacking is a different animal for the Pro Bowl.
Not if you're one of the best in the NFL.
Especially, well, if you're in the NFC and you have Matt Ryan win MVPs, you have Drew Brees in the conversation. Eli made a few Pro Bowls there. It's just the competition. Aaron Rodgers is in the mix as well.
It's not easy, but we're talking about the GOAT of the franchise.
I'm talking about the franchise, not of the league. I'm not trying to compare him to the league. I'm trying to compare him to the Carolina Panthers.
Hey, listen. Again, I really enjoy watching Cam. We had Cam on at the Super Bowl on our set on CBS Sports Network, CBS Sports Radio. And he really, it was a fun interview. He was lively.
Yep.
He was passionate. He was motivated. He was forthright. I thought it was absolutely awesome. Hold on, Terry, I just got plugged back in for a second. Sorry, buddy. You got me?
Yep.
Okay. But maybe Cam shouldn't have a sub 60% completion percentage for his career.
But that's not his game, though.
Okay. He had one great season and a lot of other seasons where, and I don't mean this to be a knock at Cam. Yeah. Cam should have a job and Cam will.
Yeah.
And I hope Cam regenerates and comes back and is somewhat Cam. But if you take away the Superman, the histrionics, the showboating, the show, which was fun, and you look at his actual accomplishments, Julius Peppers, more accomplished. Obviously, Luke Kuechly, more accomplished. And I'm going to tell you what, Steve Smith, more accomplished. Think about the quarterbacks that Steve Smith had to play with.
Yeah, no, I don't
a revolving
disagree.
Door.
Look, Jake Delhomme was a pretty good quarterback, though. Don't get it twisted.
Come on, Jake Delhomme, he was okay.
He was okay, but he was a good quarterback. He took him to a Super Bowl. He took him to as many Super Bowls as Cam Newton did.
Jake, we're going to start selling Jake
Delhomme. No, I'm not, but I'm just saying, don't act like Jake Delhomme wasn't a good quarterback.
I'm not saying he's not a scrub, but he was
Carolina Panthers.
Slightly above average?
Yeah.
What are we going to stick him with?
Yeah, he's above average. Look, but the issue, and this is where I fall on this, is because when you have a guy who wins an MVP, who is the all-time leading passer in your franchise history, and there's not very many of them that you can go through and have that conversation about. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, I said this earlier, and I'll reiterate it, the Carolina Panthers are only 25 years old. Their first season was, I believe it was 1995. Their first season was 1995. So it's not an 80-year-old organization.
No.
So the pool isn't as big here. Not that they throw the ball nearly as much back in those early days as they did now. Cam would still likely be the all-time leading passer in Carolina Panthers history, despite his 59 or 58% career completion percentage with the Panthers. But still, how many teams have their all-time leading passer and former MVP not in the conversation? It's very rare that you have that. And, you know, the ones that you do, it's because of he's like a Jay Cutler who didn't do anything, even though he did get them to a Super Bowl. So it's it's one of those – it's weird how it's – I don't know if this is an outright petty move. I mean, it probably was, but I don't know if it was an outright petty move, but it's just odd. I know a lot of fans are asking that same question of the Carolina Panthers, and if there was a write-in capability, write-ins don't usually win elections, but the write-in might win this election in this Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, I mean, recency bias.
Exactly.
Maybe.
He just retired. I mean,
listen,
not retired. He just recently removed from being a Carolina Panther.
Yep. Again, he should absolutely be a choice, clearly. Let me ask you this, though. Let me frame it a little differently. We know how Giant fans, despite a lot of uneven performances, Giant fans will always revere Eli because of 2.
Yes.
We know that, right? But imagine if Eli had no Super Bowl wins. We'll give him the same appearance that Cam had. No Super Bowl wins, and instead of making plays, whether it's the 46-yard dime down the sideline or the ridiculous play over the middle with Tyree. I mean, we know Eli shined when it mattered. Strip those away from the memory bank, and what you're left with is, with 4 minutes to go in the game, and the Giants down by less than a score, a fumble is in front of you, and Eli retreats. Now, I mean, that might sound, oh, man, he's going low on Cam. That happened.
Yeah,
that happened in the Super Bowl.
Yes. So, but they also were almost going to win that Super Bowl. And that was against the Patriots, wasn't it?
No, that was against the Broncos.
Oh, it was the Broncos. Yeah,
I mean, think about that. If he went backwards, and I remember doing the show, you and I, we were on him hard. I mean, that was a moment. If we elevate Terry Bradshaw, four Super Bowls, Terry's stats were pretty weak. Let's be honest. I mean, it was what it was.
But he won.
I know. But he won.
That's
Cam
right.
Cam didn't win. And when it was winning time, he went backwards.
True.
Literally.
But in a 25-year history, he's the all-time leading passer, and he's your lone MVP. And he got you there. He had a lot of success. There was a lot of great moments in, I forget what their stadium is called. Is it NRG? No, maybe that's...
Not NRG. It's... That's
Houston. Alliant.
It's a bank.
Yeah, I can't remember what it is.
Who the hell
whatever
knows
it
at
is.
This point. I know it has one less statue, that much I know.
It's true.
They ripped down the Richardson statue pretty quick.
Yep, they did.
Nope. Hope they kept the Panther statues, though.
Yeah,
those are sweet.
Those are sweet. Those are cool.
But I was reading a lot of people saying, rip them down, too, because they're too close to Richardson. Which, I mean, who knows what they did with that. But
yeah, Bank of America. It's Bank of America. I should have known that. I mean, it's the hub of Bank of America. But still. So Bank of America Stadium, there were a lot of great moments with Cam Newton's name attached to
them. I hear you.
And so I don't think people are going to forget him, even if they...
Nor should they.
If they don't put him on their GOAT conversation. Again, he might win the write-in ballot for name your GOAT.
And I wouldn't be mad at it. No. I'm just trying to give a little different perspective. So let me ask you this in summation. I mean, I already know the answer, but I guess I'll pose it as a question. I won't ask the question and then answer it myself, which I like to do sometimes. I'll actually ask it and I'll lay out. You ready? Who is higher on the all-time list, not the Panthers list, all-time NFL list, who is closer to the top spot at their respective positions, Luke Kuechly or Cam Newton?
Luke Kuechly.
That's not even close.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, but Steve Smith, is he on that list?
I'm just talking about Luke Kuechly right now.
Okay, but I'm just wondering why Cam was on the list. Why was he an option?
Yeah, that is shade. That is unnecessary shade. Panthers, a little petty. I wouldn't mind if he didn't win because Kuechly was that good. But
yes, exactly.
Come on, you got to get him on there. No, I'm not disagreeing with that. Come on. All right, here we go. Baseball.
By the way, is Jameis the GOAT in Tampa? Is he in the conversation?
You talking about all positions?
As their GOAT. Tampa
Bay. Leroy Selman. Let's give it up for Leroy back in the day, number one. Leroy Selman. Warren Sapp. No order. Warren Sapp.
Derek Brooks.
Derek Brooks, of course.
Got to put my brother on that conversation.
Rondé. Warwick Dunn get on it? Nah, I probably just misses that. Mm-hmm. No real respect.
Because he left after five years, I think.
Hey, yeah, that's true. Mike Evans, 3-4 more years of this kind of production. Mm-hmm. Mike Evans is on that list. Is Jameis on it now?
Is Romo for the Cowboys? These are just like
Romo's not on that list.
Okay,
I mean,
I'm just saying.
For the Cowboys?
I'm just saying.
No.
I'm just saying.
Why you got to make me look like the bad CBS guy and answer that? I mean, we love Romo, but of course he's not.
I'm just saying.
No. All time? Come on.
Is there all
Larry Allen, Dion, Emmett, Aikman. I mean, Roger Staubach. He'd do this all day.
Yeah, there's like six quarterbacks you could throw on there.
I don't know about six, because Romo was better than Danny White. And Romo was better than, I mean, they went through, they had John Kitna. They had a revolving door for a little bit there.
I'm just saying, he's their all-time leading passer. 34,183 yards.
Listen, he can sling it. There's no question. He can sling it and he can say it. All right, coming up next here. So, baseball, momentum. I won't say lost, but breaks tapped. We'll get to that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
All right, I'm going to get to this baseball, which means we're going to have to get worked up again, these clowns.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's 855-212-4CBS, sponsored by Geico. Geico's introduced the Geico Give Back Policy. It's a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that'll last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. All right, let me read something for you, Teak. You ready?
Go ahead.
This is from Tony Clark, the MLBPA executive director. In my discussions with Rob in Arizona, we explored a potential pro rata framework, but I made clear repeatedly in that meeting and after it that there were significant issues with what he proposed, in particular the number of games. It is unequivocally false to suggest that any tentative agreement or other agreement was reached in that meeting. In fact, in conversations within the last 24 hours, Rob invited a counterproposal for more games that he would take back to the owners, and we submitted that counterproposal today. Listen, I still think this gets worked out, but here's one thing that can swing the pendulum of momentum in the, you know, the wrong kind of momentum, mm-hmm. the negative PR momentum, from what has been, you know, just sitting on Rob Manfred's shoulder or his lap for weeks now in the owners, and just flip it right back to the players. You want to know what it is?
What's that?
What have they all been tweeting? What has been their motto?
When
and where? Well, guess what? They just told you. Basically 60 games, and behind the 60 games comes the very obvious when and where. So now, if they're getting prepared, the players, again, it's negotiating. I understand that. But, like, ultimately, if this derailed the season, which it won't, but if it did, now the owners look maybe not good, because I don't know if anybody's going to look good no matter what, but the players will look petty, greedy, and the fans, I believe, including this fan, me, will now shift my negative energy toward the players. Stop tweeting hollow words if you don't mean them.
Yeah. No, because for the longest time, it felt like this meeting with Rob Manfred, longest time, I mean the last day, it felt like this meeting with Rob Manfred was meant to be a conclusion. Let's get to the bottom of this. Let's come up with
something that works.
The thing that made me worried yesterday, BT, was that Rob Manfred can say, you know, as loud as he wants or as convincingly as he wants, well, we have a deal in place. I just got to go get the approval of, you know, the 30 owners in Major League Baseball. I don't think he has that, like, that finishing power over 30 owners in Major League Baseball. He's not, I mean, maybe he can get the 23 requisite number to sign off on this and move forward. But I mean, I'm not positive about that. And so that was what I was worried about. It turns out what the real issue is that the players still want to play 10 more games. And so look, we're going around in circles again and again. We're hitting circle after circle after circle. And every time we feel like we're getting close or things are positively going in the right direction, something derails it. I mean, as much as I want to believe this is going to happen, I'm not going to be shocked when it doesn't.
Again, I still think it is hammered out by late this weekend. I believe when we come in on Monday and do our show, for sure, we're talking about we have definitive terms. There's going to be a season. I mean, that's what I believe. But Tiki's right. This thing could get, you know, blown up at any second. But, you know, think about this. The court of public opinion in baseball is very strong, because there's a different energy. Like, again, and I said this the other day. I said it yesterday. NBA fans trust the NBA. They trust the NBA because the NBA is a great product. It's got great partners. The superstars are seemingly amenable to maybe even risking some health. I know that Kyrie was on the call that, but they're playing unless this outbreak forces them not to. But the players want to play. There's an inherent trust with the fans that the NBA product will continue to expand and improve and all that said it does. And I think there's some closing of the gap between trust or mistrust with Goodell from some fans, and I think the NFL is in a good place as well. But baseball is always a little different. It was always a little different with Bud Selig. It's obviously a little different with Rob Manfred now. And again, just going to reiterate what I said before: if the players have spent the last 2 hours, Mike Trout tweeted this, when and where? Well, they're giving you the when and where, and they're giving you how many.
Yeah.
So if you decide to now back off that, now we have to look at you as not holding up your end of the bargain.
Yeah,
that's it.
And that's where it gets frustrating, from a fan standpoint, for the players. We've already had our issue with the owners, but now we're starting to get there with the players, because they're saying one thing, and then and when it comes down to it, they're executing another. And again, I don't want to say this is about money, but God, it just feels like money.
Of course, it's about money.
But
why don't you want to say that it is?
Because I feel like these guys, a little bit of money is better than no money. You know what I mean? And if they don't play and they stick to the pro rata number, the pro rata of zero is zero, right? I'm teaching this to Brooklyn right now. Anything times zero is zero.
Zero. What's 537,225.58 times zero?
Zero. It's zero. You don't got to think
about it. Numbers that.
It doesn't matter. You don't got to think about it. It's zero.
You. Yeah.
And again, I don't want to believe that that's where we're going, but it's hard not to start thinking that way.
I know. By the way, did she get the concept right away? Did
you catch up? Yeah, of course. Yeah, that one's the easy one. It's the other ones that she's getting frustrated with. I think it's just the busy work. It feels like busy work now to her as opposed to learning things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's the problem with homeschooling is that it just gets to be the same and it feels like busy work. Didn't I do this yesterday?
Yeah, because mommy and daddy aren't professional teachers.
That's right.
There's only so many things we could create curriculum-wise.
I know how to
do it.
I know how to do math, right? I can tell you what seven times seven off the top of my
49.
Head is. Exactly. I don't got to think what, 12 plus 5 is. You know what I mean? I don't have to think about it.
Nope.
Now, the problem is I also don't know how to teach you how to think about it.
Especially this new math where you got to prove everything.
I don't get it.
Jeez.
I don't get it.
The only time I never add fast is when I'm adding up my golf scorecard. I swear to God. Because it's great. If you're a good golfer, it's a lot of fives. And
exactly.
Increments of 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 40, 30.
Well, if you're good.
6, 36.
You just think about how many bogeys you had. That's all you got to do.
See, the 7 and the 6 and then the 5
that's what I mean.
And the 7. Yeah.
Well, no, when you're good. You're like, okay, I had 4 bogeys and then I had that double. So that's plus 6. So I shot a 78.
Yeah, par was 36.
Exactly.
I hear that. That's there.
Right? You're like,
I've never done that. I've never done that once. Never.
Me either, dude. It's always like, all right, 6. God, I had an 8 there. All right. So now I'm at 12 after 2 holes.
Yeah.
And now what?
And then there's the rationalizations, too. Well, oh, man, I got a triple, but I was greenside in 2, but I bladed a chip, and I really got the ball around. Jeez, whatever. All right, Ken Rosenthal tweets. You ready?
Go ahead.
All right. In a 60-game framework at a full prorated pay, MLB proposes universal DH, $33 million in loan forgiveness. Nobody cares about that. $25 million postseason pool, whatever. League might ask to adjust financial numbers if it agrees to greater number of games. Per source, union proposing season starts on, this you'll care about, on July 19th. And ends on September 30th. Spring training would be from June 26th through the 28th. It would start during that window, obviously. It wouldn't end after 2 days, but that's, a little wiggle room. Asking for a $50 million postseason pull if full playoff is staged in 20. Also, per union proposal, per source, neutral site quarantine framework if needed for 2020 postseason, clubs would be granted permission to sell advertisements and patches on their uniforms in 2020-2021.
Interesting.
Yep. Listen, you got to find new creative avenues of resource.
It's
I have no problem with that.
I was just watching cricket on Willow. I'm telling you, I'm finding all of these new sports just to watch.
It's kind of like baseball.
It is kind of like baseball, but I was watching cricket on Willow and they have new regulations that they're putting in. I think it's the Indian League, the Indian Cricket League.
It's a good one.
It is.
Very good.
And one of the things, and you just mentioned it, was you're not supposed to have patches on one side of your shirt, but now they're allowing an unlimited number of patches to make up for the financial losses because fans and everything, other revenue streams that just aren't happening, they're going to make it up with advertising by putting patches on their jerseys. So it's actually a good way to think about it, even if it's going to be ugly for a year. But the season's already unconventional.
It is what it is, man.
It is. You got to do what you got to do to make things financially viable for all parties. We already know the owners are going to lose money. The players are going to lose some of their money, but they're not going negative. You know what I mean?
I get it.
But still, they want to be compensated for what they do. And so I understand it from both sides. I just hope they get it figured out before they derail it.
I don't care what the Marlins puts on their uniforms. But I've been staunchly opposed for years because we've seen this, obviously, in all sports, NFL, practice jerseys, NBA, advertising. Baseball started to creep in there a little bit. The bases back in the day when the first Spider-Man came out. It's permeated the game long ago. But the uniforms that have been around forever, the Yankees, obviously my pinstripes, the Dodgers, even the Reds who haven't been very good for a while, but great history. The Giants, at this point, I don't care if it says Billy's Beef Jerky. Put on whatever you want. Even on the Yankees pinstripes, put on whatever it takes to get the season back. I'm okay with it.
All right, Teak. We'll get some more info coming up next here. Bob Nightingale, been around the game in a long time. USA Today, MLB writer. What is the holdup? What should we interpret the tone of Tony Clark's response? And what's next? We'll find out. Some answers coming up after Axe Update, which is right now. Here's Rich. All right, tonight at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, get connected on CBS Sports Network as we bring you big names with big surprises, all via Zoom. Only on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports, CBS Sports Network. Also home to Tiki and Tierney. And because I'm a good company guy, give plugs to the other shows, even though they might not plug us. Got Boomer and Geo in the morning. Actually, they played some of our Rod Carew interview today. They do. I'm just kidding. Got the great Jim Rome. You got our guy Adam Shine after us. A little time to shine. We need to talk. Tops on Sundays. A little college football, college hoops. Rothstein, you know, talking about players we've never heard of because he knows everyone in the on every roster in America.
That's right. Evan Washburn has a show. There's a lot of shows.
That's
here.
Right. On a great network. Hair. Washburn. Great hair. Great hair. All right. So here's what's going on. We were supposed to chat with Bob Nightingale coming up this segment, but Bob reached out to Santa and said, hey, guys, I'm working on some breaking news, so I'm going to have to push it back to next hour, which we will obviously gladly do.
And you better tell us that breaking news.
I know. And simultaneously, we will be, you know, all over social media. So if something breaks, I mean, we're not going to wait for Bob to tell us. I mean, if something breaks somewhere else and Bob is a little late to the scoop, then that's too bad for Bob. I mean, we're going to get into it, but we'll definitely have him on the show. He's a really respected baseball guy, but it seems like something might be happening. Hopefully it's positively or for the positive. This is pretty positive because we talk about, you know, the NFL season and Dr. Fauci, who, you know, implored baseball not to get too deep past the mid to late October. Obviously, there's an anticipation of a spike of the coronavirus, and that opens up the conversation. You know, well, what about football season? Well, this is not coronavirus related, thankfully. This is actually football related, something that I love. Now, Tiki lived it. I say this every time. Tiki lived at training camp. So I don't expect Tiki as a former player, whether you're a great player or a scrub, and obviously my partner was great, but if you played a minute in the NFL, you don't need to watch this because you lived it.
Yeah.
Guys like me who didn't, I love Hard Knocks. I always have. I watched them all. There were some bad ones, but there have been some great ones, and this one is going to be epic. They're doing two teams, the Rams and the Chargers. Two teams.
Now, are they going to be in their stadium yet? I think I remember it being delayed, and I can't remember if they're going to be in the stadium. And they likely would have done some joint practices against each other, but
yeah.
I think the new league rule is that because of the coronavirus pandemic, there aren't going to be any joint practices this offseason, which, you know, kind of negates that. But look, I love the idea of this. Mainly because I want to see, like, the world outside of the Rams and the Chargers, relative to the Rams and the Chargers, obviously. Like, are they embracing them? Now, this is an NFL property, so I'm sure they're going to skew it in NFL favorite, but in the NFL's favor. But I'm really interested to see how the community is embracing the Rams and the Chargers. And on a regular year, we'd probably get a little bit of that. But in a socially distanced world, who knows what we're going to see. That's the other thing about this year that's going to make Hard Knocks a little bit antiseptic, in a sense.
You think so?
Yeah, because what can you actually do? Like, a lot of the interactions that I think made the show famous were either guys are fighting or
guys getting cut. Guys will still get cut.
Of course, that'll happen. But it's like the on-field stuff. I'm really interested to see what training camps look like. Really, what practice looks like with this coronavirus thing hanging over everybody's head. Because you got to believe people are going to be a little bit nervous about being close to one another. You know what I mean?
I got you. But here's the thing. I mean, the magic of the camera can manipulate it. It's going to be an unconventional work day. I mean, I even said the other day, half jokingly, I mean, if everybody's so scared and the recommendations are that you need to be extra, extra, extra cautious. I don't know. Have the offense coming in the morning. Have the defense come after that, after you clean up everything. And maybe special teams coming at night after you clean up everything after the defense. But the point is, with especially, I mean, somebody like HBO, with they've won 18 Emmys on this show.
Yeah.
It's so well done. even if there's only 1 hour a day of real practice, you're going to have to hit. You're not going to go to week one with no hitting.
Yeah.
And you're going to hit. Just get the hitting and find a way to make it look magical on TV like they always do.
I'm reading Sean McVay's quotes here about, not necessarily about Hard Knocks, but just about training camp. He says, quote, "We're going to social distance, but we play football. It's really hard for me to understand all of this. I don't get it. I really don't." Sure. And it's not like he's saying that to be divisive.
No, he's being real.
Or shock the protocols. Or, hey, no, we're stiff-arming those protocols. We're going to just, we're football players, man. PE majors, coaching PE majors. Yeah. I think he's being real. Like, how are you going to stop someone getting drilled in a practice, in a whatever kind of drill it may be, and, you know, spit coming out of his mouth. I mean, it happens.
The snot bubbles when you get popped.
Snot bubbles, blood, all this stuff. Yeah. It's gonna be prevalent. It's just, football's disgusting, man. It is what it is. Like, the locker rooms are gross after practice because tape and people are cutting it off. They got ripped shins and everything else. It's not pretty. It's not glamorous, man. And keeping bodily fluids from intermixing is just going to be difficult. So.
I hear you. Let me read a little bit here. So let's go. Okay. "Despite the coronavirus pandemic, the HBO series Hard Knocks will forge ahead this summer to produce a 5-episode season featuring the Rams and the Chargers." Quote, Kenny Rogers, senior coordinator producer of Hard Knocks, he said, "We are following the advice of medical experts at the league and the NFLPA level. We as a production are following right along with camp. So if any change happens in any way, obviously Hard Knocks will adjust. The process of coronavirus testing is likely to be folded into the show," he said. "As you have to, as you can't pretend it's a normal summer."
Yep.
"As production attempts to chronicle the experience of players and coaches throughout the training camp." There's the McVay quote. Yeah, it's going to debut August 11th. Yep. "Veterans report scheduled July 28th.
Now, I guess this is why they had, I mean, it makes sense that they're doing two teams, though. I mean, obviously, because they're sharing Los Angeles and ultimately they'll share a stadium. But with the limited, I don't know, not necessarily access, but the limited activity that may happen in training camps this year, contact, you might not see a lot because of the way things are going.
Maybe.
I mean, you're starting to hear some speculation that team meetings are going, like the ones that aren't necessary to be in person, are going to be virtual. They're going to keep doing virtual meetings even though they're not necessarily need to be virtual.
Like, well, so, what are the ones that aren't necessary? You tell us.
I don't know.
I would think that they're all necessary.
I think like a team meeting. So like, say in training camp, there's 90 guys. Uh-huh. So 90 guys in a room. You kind of got to do that. But then you start breaking down, especially as camp gets on and you start getting cuts. So you're down to 50. Well, I think it's now up to 60. And I think they're going to add a couple of extra practice squad players because of coronavirus, precautions, just in case someone gets sick. You have to have bodies around. So once you start paring down the roster and those meetings go from, 10. I remember we in camp, we'd have like 12 running backs in the meeting room. And I'd be like, dude, this thing feels full. And then you get to the regular season, there's like 4. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so, but once you pare down, it's easier to do, more virtual stuff. So it'll be interesting. I mean, and to be honest with you, like seeing the behind the scenes of that, that's something I haven't experienced. I actually might enjoy this one more than I have in previous seasons.
What is it like? It's funny. You even described yourself the other day, which is accurate, but interesting. It almost seems like a contradiction. You use the word introverted when you're not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is fair. I mean, you love talking to people.
Yep.
But I think there's...
give me the option, I'll sit in the cut.
Yeah, exactly. Unlike me, we'll talk to anybody and talk loud and talk for a long time. But you, while you are a little introverted, you're supremely confident.
Yeah.
But I wonder what it was like. Like, take us back. Like, I've always wondered, like, you're a rookie. And I don't mean the rookie gets drafted in the first round with the bonus loot and all the cameras. Now, Tiki was a second-round pick, for those who might not know, back in 97. You got a few bucks. Obviously, you're making the team. You're highly thought of. You could have gone first round.
I think I made $750 my signing bonus.
Is that
bonus.
What you made your first year?
$750,000 was my signing bonus or something like that.
Are you serious?
I was like, wow, that's pretty good.
Back in 97?
97, making no money at all. Mom making
penny I hope you didn't throw it all on the penny stocks, did
no,
you?
No, we bought my mom a car and a house. Because Ronnie was drafted too, but I forget what his signing bonus was.
I was going to say, hopefully he didn't waste it all on the Y2K spy. Why was it Y2K?
Yeah, Y2K.
The Y2K spyware.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember that nonsense? Uh-oh, the computers. I don't know if we can handle this world. But anyway, you get there,
yeah,
and it's just got to be overwhelming. When you first walk in, you see guys that you watched on TV. What is it like when you first walk in the building?
Yeah, so it was actually kind of cool for me, even though I hated the Giants because I was a Redskins fan. Growing up, like walking in the building and seeing, first of all, two people. One, Tyrone Wheatley, who was a stud at Michigan, right?
Great
and he's in the meeting room as well. And he's enormous. This dude was like a state, all-state hurdler in high school, but he's enormous. I mean, he looks like a tight end. I'm like, dude, I'm not going to play in this league. If this is a running back.
Yeah, Rodney Hampton was I had a lot of big guys.
I'm a running back, and then Rodney Hampton is sitting there, and he's a legend. I mean, he's the all-time leading rusher in Giants history at that point, sitting right next to me. But it was interesting, BT, because
Were they receptive to help you, by the way, or no?
Of course. It's always that way. It's always that way.
I can't imagine it's always that way.
Yeah, because it
wasn't that way with Brett Favre and Rodgers.
But it's different. I was going to say it's different with the quarterback.
Okay, go ahead.
Right, it's different with the quarterback because very few teams have Christian McCaffrey's where he's going to play 100% of the snaps. You know what I mean? And so it's like you need this guy to be ready just for team's sake. They were always helping me. But it was interesting for me because, like, you could see Hamp was about done. Like, he had a bad knee injury, so he wasn't practicing a lot during the regular season. They didn't love Tyrone, you know, and so that's why one of the reasons they drafted me. And very quickly into camp, Skip told me, he said, Teek, you might start. So this is like a week in the camp. He said, you might be our starter. Now, at that time, the Giants didn't start a lot of rookies. I think there had only been a few over the course of the history, and most of them were on the defensive side of the ball. And I'm like, get out of here. And so it galvanized me. Now, he might have been just saying that to make me work harder. But ultimately, I ended up starting my first game. So it was, you know, it was one of those odd situations that I didn't feel uncomfortable in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it.
Because at the end of the day,
I can't relate to it,
but at the end of the day, it's football, you know? And you go out, you work hard. They put me on like the second team and I don't say it was easy, but I would do so well. Like I knew I could play. Like almost immediately, I knew I could play on this level.
That's got to be a good feel. Imagine going there and swimming.
Yes.
Like physically saying.
That's right.
Feeling slow or feeling weak.
Yeah.
Oh.
I never felt that.
No, I'm sure.
And I go back to college. I remember my first year, couple years in college when I was on the second team and whatever. Yeah. I was like, this is easy. You know, I feel like this is easier in high school. And so it was only a matter of time.
Things I can't relate to. Everything he just said. All right, T. Coming up next, Kenyon Drake says, hey. We're ready to shock some people this year. He's selling the cards. I might be buying them, by the way. But what other teams, if you have the cards on that list, are poised to make a nice jump in 2020? That'll be fun. We'll hit that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.